Let me give you a little bit of my background. I grew up in Staten Island, New York. My family, my father and my mother, let's start it like this. My mom and my pop, my father didn't believe in God. My mother did not believe in God. So I was not brought up religiously at all. I wasn't baptized, never went to church, nothing like that. I had a couple friends in the younger years that had gone to church every Sunday or whatever it might have been because their parents told them it's something they had to do. And I saw absolutely no difference in their lives compared to mine. And I'm a young guy still. I'm talking 10, 11 years old. But this is how I found out about Jesus Christ. My family, all the men in my side of the family, the Port family, their favorite curse word was JC. And that's all I knew about Jesus Christ, that every time something bad happened, he used his name. I knew nothing else about it. So that's what I grew up with. And it was very, very interesting way. A lot of us were athletes, excelled in certain sports, but not knowing what I know now, how much the Lord had changed my life was unbelievable. So I'm going to fast forward very quickly to around the age of 20, let's say. I met my wife, Teresa. We got married. Neither one of us knew the Lord. She was Catholic. She had gone to church a couple of times. And I had come down to Myrtle Beach, I guess the age of 20, 21, because all my family played golf, right? And, of course, the Lord's name being used all over the place, but in the wrong way. So Terry and I came down. We had two children. My daughter Michelle was like 5. My son Tommy was 3. And I had been out because I played golf with a lot of guys in New York. All right. One of the big things that we did was when we played golf, there was a group of 60 of us. I lived in Queens, and I would drive to Staten Island to play golf, which, depending on the traffic in New York, could be 45 minutes to 3 hours, right? But even though I loved my wife as much as I possibly could, once I went to play golf and be with the guys, I was still young, golf turned into, all right, we're playing 18 holes, we're going to play an extra 9. And then everybody's going to go out and we'll have a couple drinks. And we're going to party a little bit, and everybody's going to go home. Well, this went on for a couple of years. And I knew I loved my wife, but I knew that I also enjoyed my lifestyle. But I knew it was starting to really destroy everything, my marriage and all that. So we had made plans to, my wife had made plans to come down to Myrtle Beach. When I was turning 26, and she said, when we go back, I can't live like this anymore. I want to divorce you. I can't live this life with you not coming home. I can't live this life with the kids. I just can't do it anymore. So it was about a week before we came down, and she had told me what was going on, and I was out with a couple of guys playing golf. And I don't know how well you know New York City, but you have the East Side Highway, okay? And on that highway, there is a turnoff. We lived in Queens. There is a turnoff from the East Side Highway that has a divider in it, not with a guardrail, but just a little curb divider, okay? It's about, I'm saying, 12 o'clock at night. I've been gone since 6 o'clock in the morning. I go to make the turn. I'm going too fast. I hit the divider, and we had a Jeep at the time, and the Jeep literally flipped up over the air and landed on all 4 tires. And I ran and landed right next to a pier where the water was. And I was like, oh, boy, this is not good. So now car's not working, so now I have to walk to the nearest restaurant, knowing what my wife wants to do, and call her up and say, hon, I'm sorry about it again. I must have said I was sorry 1,000 times to her. And I said, hon, I'm stuck in Queens. The car's got 4 flats. Can you come pick me up? She came and picked me up. Took the car. Now, I had never opened a Bible in my life, but we had one in our house. Okay? For some reason, only the Lord knows, it was him. Let me put it this way. When we were reading today, we don't have to clean up our act before the Lord comes to us. He'll clean up our act for us if we just trust him. All right? Well, my act, I could not clean up. And I knew that. All right? But I knew nothing about sin. Didn't really know anything about God. If there was one, I didn't know who he was. But we had a Bible in our house. And I'm walking into the house, and for some reason I grabbed the Bible. And I read this, Psalm 38. I'm just going to read you a couple of verses from it. I opened it up to this. And it says this. For thine arrows have sunk into me, and thy hand has come down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of my iniquity. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head, and they weigh like a burden too heavy for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. For my loins are filled with a burning, and there's no soundness in my flesh. I am utterly spent and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. My heart throbs. My strength fails. The light of my eyes, it is also gone from me. And this is what really got me. My friends, my companions stand far off from my plague. And it says my kinsmen, so my family, my wife, my kids were standing far off. And I said to myself, how can this book possibly know how I'm feeling? How could I turn to it? And this is exactly what I was feeling. I was losing everything I had by being foolishness, having a wife, having kids, and yet thinking I could have both and have happiness. So I came across this, and I was like, oh, my God, if there's a God, you know me pretty well. So we went down to, we came down to Myrtle Beach for vacation. But I'm telling you, ever since I read this psalm, the whole trip down, I was constantly thinking about, how does this book know how I feel? How does it know that I feel? And so we finally get there, and I used to love to swim in the ocean down in South Carolina. And I'm out in the water. This was in August of 1986. And I'm standing out in the water for like 6 hours, and I literally think that I'm having a nervous breakdown. Can't understand how this book would know how I felt. All right? Going to lose my wife, going to lose my kids. And I had no idea what was going on. So that night we came in, and I'm saying I was standing in the water 6 hours just looking out over the horizon. Very, very distressed by what I read. And still I wouldn't use the word intrigued, that's not the right word. Very scared of what I read. So that night we went to sleep, and I was still kind of freaking out. And something happened. Right? I did not hear an audible voice at all. But it was said to my heart, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me now, Tommy. And I went, whoa. I woke up, okay? And I said, okay, what is that? Now, here's the cool part. Thank God for the Gideon Bible Society. Okay? Yep. I went into the room. I went into the dining room area. Nobody was up yet. And this is what I turned to. And I read this. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. But what really blew me away was in verse 5. He said it to his disciple Thomas. And that's my name, Thomas. 2 days later, we're standing on the porch of our condominium. Not our condominium, one that we were renting. And my wife is looking over me. She's crying. And I asked, Terry, why are you crying? She goes, I don't know what happened to you, but whatever happened to you, I want that to happen to me. Right? It was like everything had lifted off of me. The way that I looked at it yet, I didn't know anything yet. But as time went on, I started to learn the Word of God better. I didn't have to clean up my act. All right? He came after me. I didn't go after him. All the other religions in the world say, no, chase this. Do the best you can. No, he came in and rescued me in my muck and my mire. Okay? And that led me into quite a few things. But I will say this. Not only is he a God of hope and our only God of salvation, he's a God of reconciliation. Because the very woman who's going to divorce me is sitting right next to Richie and Lisa, my dear wife, Terry. And we've been together for 43 years. All right? So praise the Lord with that.
Praise the Lord.
So I'm not going to make this long. This is falling off, so I'm going to have to take this off. It's getting too old for my back. So one other part with this. As this happened now, I started to look into the Word of God like constantly. This book was speaking to me. It was jumping out at me. The words were jumping out. And guys that I had been working with 2 weeks before I went on vacation, okay? And now I come back from vacation, and I'm going back to work, and I'm carrying a Bible. Look at me and say, what are you doing? I said, you're not going to believe what happened to me. So I started telling everybody. And we're in construction. Now, I was a plumber, okay? We're in construction, all right? And they said, you're nuts. I said, no, you got to hear what happened. And I started reading to them. I didn't care what they wanted to listen to or not. It was going to be told to everybody. All right? And to make a, just backtrack a little bit, before we went away, and I'm going to have, for being that there's children here, I'm going to have to, I'll tell you the story, but when I talk about what happened, just consider a butterfly falling out a window, just falling slowly and hitting the floor, okay? A couple of weeks before we went, I had to work on Park Avenue South, the 15th floor. It was an occupied floor, and in order to use the bathroom, you had to go into one of the lawyer's offices or whatever and ask for a key to use the bathroom. And as I was doing that, there were steam fitters, electricians, plumbers, carpenters, all in this room with me. And they were basically telling me, every time I went to the bathroom, they're going, thank God he left. Because all they kept talking about was Jesus. I didn't care who it was. I didn't care what. You got to know what happened to me. All right? You have to know. All right. So it winds up, I met this woman. And she was a secretary for a lawyer. And I went in there, got to know her a little bit, and you know, had to borrow the key to use the restroom. And then, I believe we thought the job was finished. Okay? And I guess about 5 months later, I get a call. I have to go back to the 15th floor of this building. They have a problem with the machine. I used to work, even though I was a plumber, I used to work in HVAC. So picture from those speakers to the back wall would be the side of the AC and heating unit. So you could actually walk inside of it, all right, and work, because the buildings were big. So now I am so alive from Christ. All the burdens I had left me. I started going to church. I went to a church, and like I never saw anything like this. I walked in, people were singing and clapping and incredible. Never saw it like it. It was a charismatic church. All right? And I thought it was the greatest thing in the world at first. Okay? And as time went on and I started to get into the Word of God, I had a brother of mine, Danny Gerald Amatis, been a part of assemblies for a long time. He decided to start to have a Bible study with our family. And he was convinced, because of my love for the Word of God, that sooner or later, I would see the fallacy that was going on in this church. And it happened eventually. I left the church. I had repented all my sins, got baptized, did all that. And I left the church. And as I was leaving the church, all right, they all knew I was saved. They all knew I was like, and they all think that they're saved. I'm not saying they're all not, but it was such false teaching. Instead of giving me a Bible when I came in, even though I had one, they gave me a bag full of like Morris Cirillo and Kenneth Copeland and all these different, a garbage bag full of magazines instead of giving me the Word of God. So anyway, I told them I had to leave. So before I left the church, they encircled me and tried to cast a demon out of me. And I looked at them, I said, guys, don't you understand that he who's in me is greater than he who's in the world? You can't cast anything out of me. And then I left. All right? And I'm growing, and the Word of God has been a passion of mine since then. So get back to the story. So I have to go back to this job. And I said, you know, I'm up on the floor. I wonder if this woman is still working there. I'd love to say hello to her. All right, so I get there like 8 o'clock, and I knock on the door, open up, and she's sitting there. And I said, hi, how you been? How you doing? She goes, I'm doing okay. She goes, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. I got to tell you something. All right? And all of a sudden, the phone rang. Okay? So I said, all right, I'll be back a little later when I have coffee break. I have to go back to work. Got to go back to work and talking to some of the guys and this and that and just going over and over about how good Jesus was to me, and I didn't deserve it, and how did he pull me out of what I was in, and all these great things. So I went back at lunchtime, and I walked back in the room, and I had like 2 minutes maybe, just 2 minutes. And she goes, so what happened to you? I'd like to hear. I said, well, I was down in Myrtle Beach, okay, and I was with my wife, and now her boss comes in and interrupts the lawyer. This went on for 8 times during the day. Okay? It was time for me now to go home. And I said to myself, I will be here tomorrow morning. I will make sure that I talk to her in the morning. Okay? So I'm going back to the building. It's about 10 to 8. And as I'm walking past the building, for the sake of the kids being here, a little butterfly jumped off the roof and kind of floated down and landed right in front of me. And that butterfly was the butterfly I was trying to tell about Jesus Christ. So if you understand where I'm coming from, why I didn't keep it, I kept it not graphic, all right? That made such an impression on me that people do not have time to wait. You don't. Everybody thinks they're going to pass away, but it's going to be 10 years from now. That showed me very quickly, Tommy, people do not have tomorrow. They all think they do, but they don't. And that is what has given me my zeal to want to tell people wherever I go. All right? And with that, I'll leave you off with this. I ran into quite a few people. Ran into Brother Richie here, who's going to speak in a little while. And I want to say this about my dad. He grew up in a family, and I guess if you're from that generation too, the word I love you really didn't come out of your father's mouth. All right? And when I came to Jesus Christ, and I told my dad what happened, he goes, it's only going to last you 2-3 weeks. It's a phase. All right, it's 5 years later now, right? I'm watching the Masters, and Bernhard Lange wins the Masters. He's a German. He's from Germany, famous golfer. He won 2 Masters, had a wife, was making tons of money, and I'm with my father. And it's on Easter morning. And Bernhard goes, before I say anything, I just want to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Resurrection Day, and he saved my soul. And I looked at my father and said, Dad, you're a golf addict. You know, Bernhard, it happened to him, and it happened to me. All right? We're not the only ones it happened to. It happened to millions of people. Okay? So I went over to my father, and I looked him right in the eyes. I told him, Dad, I love you so much, and I hugged him. But since he didn't have that in his family, he did not know how to accept it. Okay, I hugged him, looked at him, told him I loved him, and he gave me kind of like a half a hug, right? But he didn't have that in his life. That's the way they were brought up. So, since that time, I was at the age of 26. I'm 64 years old now. Again, my wife and I have been together almost 44 years. Kids are grown. We have grandchildren. But the biggest thing in my life has been sharing what Jesus can do for you and what he did for me. I did not have to get myself right before he would accept me. I did not have to do anything to impress him. No. He loved me because I was lost, I was sick, and I just could not stop what I was doing, but he could. So I just want to praise the Lord Jesus for that. And it's very interesting, too. I'll leave you off with this. I got saved down here. My wife got saved a little later down here in Myrtle Beach. We wound up moving down here, and we'd be part of this chapel in Myrtle Beach. God's got some tremendous plans. So I just want to share that hope with everybody, because you all, most of you sitting here, know how God has changed your life. Don't ever lose the fire that you have. Please. Don't let your testimony, don't let your feel ever get like this quiet hush. And you don't want to talk to anybody because you're comfortable in your walk. Please. When you first get saved, you're on fire, you got to tell everybody. And then over a couple of years, you kind of slow down a little bit. You know it's important. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. All right? When that happened right in front of me, I knew that God put that in my heart, that people do not have tomorrow. All right? Today is the day of salvation. I know all of you know the Lord here, so there's probably a lot of us that can give testimonies. All right? But please, don't lose the fire that God gave you. And if you have lost it a little bit and you sense it, check yourself, examine yourself. Lord, what would you have me do now? The world is turning upside down. It's an excellent opportunity right now for us. There's so much fear going on. People have no idea what's happening. And we have the hope and the answer for this world. All right, so I just want to praise Jesus' name for what he's done for me and every single person in here. He is worthy of glory. And I will praise him until the day I meet him. And I praise him for my wife because she stuck by me. She stuck through the hard times and we're still together. So thank you for letting me share my testimony. It could have went on for a couple hours, but I had to make it short. Okay. But God is good.